You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own stories and to share our content with others.
My special guest today is Victor Marx. He and Eileen have been friends of ours for quite a while now. I mean, we don't get to see each other very often, but it's like picking up where we left off instantly when we get to be together. Welcome, Victor.
Thank you for having me on this program, brother.
Well, I'm the one that's really enjoying this because I've been wishing this would happen for quite a while because we've been through some parallel kind of stuff. Not many people have been through a parallel with you. Obviously, you've got a testimony that will peel the paint off the wall.
Mm.
And I don't want to get too deep in that, but I think it'd be great for you to just, in a very concise way, build a foundation so that whoever's listening will understand where we're coming from.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Father was a drug dealer and a pimp, rejected me as a son. Mother married 7 times, and I went to 14 schools, 17 houses. But I suffered abuse as a kid, being in an environment like that. I was left for dead at 5 years old in a commercial cooler. But I also suffered torture, very intentional tactics by a very sick man. I noticed I liked to be electrocuted and dunked in a tub until I'm unconscious. And out of that really was birth, what I call lies based on reality. Mm. It kind of imprinted me to who I thought God was, to what I thought my value was as a human.
Yeah.
And that's what I struggled with most of my life.
Right. As you're saying that, a phrase came to mind, and the abbreviation is POW.
Yeah.
I mean, what you went through sounds like prisoner of war.
Yeah.
And it really connects, doesn't it? Because you were definitely taken by the enemy and given horrible abuse. And coming from that place and seeing God's grace and his power to transform obviously is the foundation for all things possible ministries. Yeah. And what a powerful witness that is. And one that I'm sure is a little scary for most folks to connect with.
Mm.
Although there's a lot of people who are definitely behind it completely, and they jump right in because they see the goal of breaking out kids from that same prison.
Yeah.
Because you go to the youth prisons and you speak very graphically about what you've gone through, and it obviously rings all kinds of bells with them.
Yeah.
And you give them that rescue option.
You know, one of the lies the enemy tells people is no one else understands.
Right.
You're isolated. Your craziness is... He's excellent at isolating. So when I speak what I went through and the challenges that resulted, and then give them the hope of the only answer that there was for me.
Mm-hmm.
God is able to restore. When medical doctors told me, you know, you'll never fully function again.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I never fully function anyway. So.
I wouldn't know how that feels.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be more weird.
That'd be really strange.
But you speaking of POW, a friend of mine, Jerry Coffey, Captain Coffey, was a POW, right, in Vietnam. But this dear brother, he says that in regular life, the prisoners of woe.
Yeah.
You know, where they struggle with life and woe is me. That's why it's so important for us to have our mind renewed.
Yes.
And believe truth over lies, or else we're driven by those lies.
That's right.
And I guess that's one of the reasons why we went after kids. The hurting and abused youth of the U.S.
Yeah.
And foster care, you know, in youth prisons. And we're in over 700 of them right now with our book and film and our visiting. And then we speak in high schools.
Mm.
And I love the fact that public high schools will let me do their assemblies.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
Because 1 in 3 girls is sexually molested.
Yes.
And 1 in 5 boys.
Wow.
It's interesting. We really started working and speaking to veterans because of the whole PTSD issue.
Yes.
But Harvard did a study and found out the most acute levels of PTSD in guys returning were due to childhood trauma.
Hmm.
And then I just visited with a guy, Chad Robodeau, who has the most successful adult combat veteran PTSD help group. He's got 20,000 acres up in Paso Robles, and he's a Cajun, of all things. But
wow.
He was Force Recon. He did 8 tours in Afghanistan.
Mm.
But he said 70% of the guys, and they deal mostly with special forces guys, right, who come to them, 70% were sexually abused as kids.
That's a real revelation, isn't it?
It is. Because with anything, people who really excel from a driven state, whether military, I mean, SF guys, Force Recon, you're doing 40-mile tracks with 135 pounds on your back of gear. That's nobody in their right mind is going to do that.
You know they're sick.
Yeah, you know there's something wrong. Or, you know, athletes or whoever, businessmen who are driven.
The driven.
They'll either come from a loving, supportive family that nurtures them and says,
You can do anything. Yes.
And we're here to support you. Or they come from such radical dysfunction that they're out to prove
this
to
is
be
their
driven.
Response to
yep.
that. Yeah.
So there's a lot of hurting people, but that's why Christ came, to redeem
Absolutely.
What the enemy has done. So we count it a privilege to do it.
Yeah. A couple of things came to mind. It wasn't very long ago that I whittled down to the one trick the devil's got.
Hmm.
He's not very creative. I mean, in fact, he's not creative at all. But his one trick is isolation.
Oh, boy.
He doesn't have to do anything else.
Right.
Because if he can get you isolated, and we were talking about ways he tries to do that all the time. Your family's a target. You know, you're in the car with your wife.
No, right.
The one thing that he's trying
right.
is to isolate
right.
you right there in
no,
the car.
Right. We start fussing.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
And somebody just wants to open the door right on the freeway and jump out because that has a hook in it.
Yeah.
And that self-focus, that self-obsession,
yeah.
self-worship, really,
yeah.
is demonic. And that means you're tasting death and loving it.
Mm.
It's an amazing thing what can happen with one trick, one little trick. And he's deluded the whole world with that one trick
mm.
by stepping in. And who knows where Adam was at the time, but he talked to Eve.
Yeah.
And she wasn't there when the rule was set
mm.
about don't go over there. Adam knew,
right.
he
right.
knew, and he told her, and so the devil comes to the one who has the second-hand information, right?
Yeah.
And that says a whole lot about when you're in danger,
mm.
because if you don't have first-hand knowledge and intimate wow. interaction with God, you are a mark.
Brother, that's...
And it's going to rip you...
I've never heard that
and
before.
And you're going to rip somebody else off.
That's right.
Because her actions that day,
this
she
collateral.
Wasn't the one that
right.
sinned.
Right.
Adam was.
Wow.
Adam stepped out of his role and said, I'll take it from here, God.
Wow.
Because now I know how to figure out what's right and what's wrong, and I'll take it from here. Thank you very much.
Mm.
Beautiful garden and all, but I'll take it from here. And, of course, God says, okay, you'll have to do it outside. You won't be in here. And by the way, you think tending the garden was hard? You're going to make crops by the sweat of your brow, buddy. And it's all going to be hard. And that's God's grace, that it's hard, isn't it?
Mm.
I mean, you've had to, on this side of his rescue operation for you and your dad, I mean, you start to see that it's God's grace, no matter how much damage it did, but how much damage it is directly relative to how hard-headed.
I think so. And, you know, to know Christ as a Savior, but then to find out he's a Redeemer too, that's pretty rich. That's a whole... He's in the business of redeeming.
Yes.
What we've done wrong,
what,
you know, our poor choices, what others did wrong to us or caused, or the injustices. And I think when a person, because you got to rely on something.
Cause self,
you know,
we're leaners.
I mean, yeah.
You're going to lean on something.
And most people are doing it through substance abuse or illicit relationships, or there's a ton of them out there. But when they realize, you know, this ain't working.
Yeah.
This just really isn't working. I don't like who I've become. God's so loving, and he's waiting, and
yeah.
I'm right here.
And his grace will drive you to the bottom of that, and that's what happened to me, because I'm in the psych ward in Munich, Germany, and very happy to be there.
Right.
Because I said, okay, I took inventory at my place overnight and put everything on the table that I've ever seen or learned or been a part of, and frankly, I'm so humiliated, I can't stand it.
Mm.
I'm out of here.
Right.
So I stepped across that little picket fence into Nana Land, and happily there, because all the strings were
right, gone.
Unattached.
Yep.
I was free for the first time in my life.
Yeah.
And then Jesus comes in the room and goes, Terry, I know how you feel. I just want to talk to you about, you know, your reaction to that, because you've decided not to be a human being. But for the same evidence and the same inventory, I chose to become one. And then he flooded me with how he feels toward human beings. You and me and those kids that are locked up in refrigerators out in the field.
Yep.
The POWs, the prisoners of woe that have no place else to go in their own minds at the end of their rope. but it's at the end of their rope that Victor Marx shows up that's been there and is living proof that there's a Redeemer.
Yes.
And he loves human beings.
Yeah, he does.
God so loved the world that he gave. If you unpack that, it says all of that in a few words. And God has made it so simple for us, we think it's a little bit stupid.
Right.
Because we like to complicate stuff and make it so hard, because that's all we've known, is making things are just hard. And so we want to take credit for figuring it out. And so we make things, I can't say a simple sentence. I got to make a whole paragraph.
Right.
I mean, I'm just that way, because I want to say it the whole way. But see, the Holy Spirit's version of that is to express, once we get the Holy Spirit inside of us, is to express his life, his thoughts, his mind, and to replace ours with his.
Mm.
Not marry them.
Thank goodness.
They don't get married.
Yeah.
Because one of them has got to open the car door and jump out on the freeway.
Yeah. That's, I mean, I love my family, but I'm the first person in three generations.
I love
that's
that.
Been married, stayed married, never cheated.
So far, anyway.
Yeah. Cheating is not an option.
No.
Murder would heal quickly.
She would clean your
wow. She knows how to use all the weapons I do, and better.
Yeah.
We were doing some shooting not long ago with a friend who's a SEAL team operator, and she was shooting well, and he's looking at me like, okay.
Don't mess with this woman.
I stay on mama's good side. But I think God wants to show off in people's lives who they know they don't have a spitting chance apart from something supernatural. And he does do it. It is supernatural. They can't earn it. They just got to trust him and be obedient.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And then realize that there is a real battle for their soul. That's why it's so real.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, both of us form a military, so we understand the enemy and combatives and all that. Whether you're talking about ISIS or Al-Qaeda or a grandfather here in the U.S. who shoots his daughter and kills the grandkids.
Yeah.
It's just evil, not just people. I mean, you know, I'm heading over to Burma pretty soon, and the atrocities that are happening over there, but it's not just people. They're the conduits. It's evil. So to bring truth and hope and love in places of darkness, whether it's youth prisons or a neighbor's house, or schools or whatever, that's a privilege.
Well, it's really a simplification to understand God's word. And the only way you're going to do that is for you to look totally to gaining your sanity from the Holy Spirit. And I got papers that show I'm not sane.
Yep.
But my sanity at that day that I was telling you the story of, he became my only sanity. That was the clearest thing in the world. And it's still as clear as it ever was. But it becomes more articulatable.
I like that word.
I'm gonna come up to my head and I speak to that.
I'm using it. That's what's crazy.
Our desire, the drive, once the Spirit is in us, is to articulate it, to express his mind through my human flesh, through my voice, through my actions.
Mm.
And you see, God's glory in the context of Scripture is he loved the world so much, he gave himself to us so that he could be expressed through us to the whole world and in all the aspects of who he is.
Mm.
Your spirit is expressing itself through a body, worship in spirit, intention, as well as truth, the action, the expression of it through human agency. The point is that your body, because you have this shriveled up spirit in you, has no ability in itself to express the mind of God.
Right.
It can only be a dupe to the mind of Satan, the spiritual rebellion against God. So your soul is expressing through your body the nature of the spirit that's in you. And only the Holy Spirit can express God's heart, his mind, his love, his truth, his wisdom. And that's the trek that we're all on in this life and probably will be throughout eternity, to allow more of that to blast through our lives. And so that person that's pulling off these atrocities in Burma or in Uganda or in the Sudan or whatever they're just naturally expressing the spirit that they've given themselves to.
Right.
You yield yourself to
right.
the vengeance
right.
of Satan against God. And God, he's not going to intervene with that.
Right.
But well, his love can break through that and then take you out of that refrigerator.
Well, and I think a lot of people, and maybe even some listening right now, you know, they go, well, if God is such a good God, why didn't he stop it?
Mm-hmm.
And I get that, but that's, you know, I'd want someone to know right now, there's a difference between allowing and causing. God doesn't cause the, you know, it's people's choices. It's the enemy. It's like what you said, they're yielding to this, but God can come and redeem that in spite of people's choices and the work of the wicked one. But that was a high hurdle I had to get over.
Yeah. Well, the fact is that he will stop it. All you have to do is choose to turn toward him and run to him as hard as you can. He'll stop it right now. But you're made to be a person, not an individual. And so the minute you want to be connected to him, you become a human being. You become alive. You become a person that's connected and potentially one with him. And suddenly the truth is what he states. And then you work it out with fear and trembling because you love him so much because he first loved you. It's a very clear thing in Scripture. I mean, yeah, he doesn't cause the evil.
Right.
Although he, out of his grace and the design, he wanted people that really wanted him.
Oh, yeah.
And so he puts you through the ringer to let you know that this thing of you being on your own is not so fun after all.
Yeah. Amen to that. Well, God's love does compel us to reach those. And I mean, we live in such a dark world. It's hurting people everywhere.
That's right.
I mean, everywhere. And if a Christian just says, Lord, use me somehow, that little prayer will get answered. And you'll find yourself saying stuff to people you never thought you would, but it's out of love. We were in a youth facility, and the staff said, hey, can you visit with this one girl afterwards? And when a staff tells you that, oh my. And I never forget, there's this girl, she's 17 or 18, and she's smiling, but it was a hurting smile.
Yeah.
And I said, how can I help you? You know, what can I do to encourage you? And she said, I just want the thoughts to go away. The bad thoughts to go away. And she went on to explain how she'd been horribly abused by her biological dad her whole life, with no recourse, no one to step in, you know, her primary caregiver. And this evil guy just took advantage of this girl. I said, well, how'd you get out of it? She smiled. She said, I was 14. And I got arrested. She had broke the law. And she says, I've been in here. This is how I'm safe. It broke my heart. And I looked at her, I said, well, I said, you know something? I said, you're beautiful and you're very valuable. And she smiled. She said, oh, thank you. I looked at her, I said, you don't believe me, do you? And she said, no. I said, okay, look in my eyes again. And I'd never done this, Terry. And so I felt like it was the Lord. So she looked in my eyes and I said, you're valuable and beautiful and God loves you. And I said, are my eyes lying? And she said, no. And then she started bawling.
Yeah.
Because it got down, right?
Because she knows the difference.
You know, that's the privilege we have.
Yes.
God uses us to communicate to hurting people. What a privilege.
Yes.
But that girl, she gave her life to Christ, and she did get out. That's the good news. It's just such a harvest field out there.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you and Nancy so much, Eileen and I both do, for y'all's example that y'all set and your faithfulness to the Lord. Your faithfulness in ministry, because your story resonates with me. And I've cried many tears just knowing what you went through, because there's that brotherhood band of, wow, he knows what it's like. So thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for the fruit that's come out of your life, because it's impacted me from the first day I was a Christian.
Well, that's really the honor we have, to carry his spirit in us and his function he designed us to be of who he is, because he's the only one that's for the whole world.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of ministries think they're for the whole world. And some people are called to very wide ministries. I mean, you are. But there are people who think that aren't.
Right.
And it's a real dorky kind of thing when you think about it. But to get into ministry because you want to impact the world. Wait a minute, what about your mom?
Oh, yeah.
What about your wife?
Yeah.
I mean, everything goes out from where you are. It doesn't start out there.
That's a good word.
You know, in wherever you think God wants you to go work. How about starting with your own family and see if it doesn't develop out of that? You know, God will open some doors you don't expect if you just handle the little that he gives you to do.
Well, isn't that the truth?
It's just such a beautiful life, Victor. It just gets more beautiful all the time. It blows my mind. Every morning that we're at home at 7:30, we're sitting down there opening his word and going, we're clearing the clutter right now.
Mm.
Lord, we want you to have the room. Cleanse this temple and sit with us and help us, Holy Spirit, to listen, have ears to hear, and to just be poured into by his Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is gaga over Jesus. And the Father is too. And Jesus is gaga over the Father and transmits that to us through the Holy Spirit, who he sent to dwell in us. And that's just like this explosion every day. The Lord just has to help us to pay attention, that's all. And us exploding, you know, I think it was D.L. Moody that said, I just go out there and people gather around to watch me burn.
Right. Yeah.
And it really is true. I mean, it's not a whole lot of decision making on my part, you know, deciding how to act.
You don't have
charismatic
to create
or what. I don't create any of it.
Just be.
I'm the victim.
Yeah.
He's having his way. Anyway, I want to hear some more about what's happening currently as well, but I'm going to take a little break right here.
All right. I'll stretch my legs.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com. or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo. I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and your products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back.
Hello, this is Terry Clark. I am honored to provide an oasis in your day of music, commentary, and conversation between friends focused on what the Lord is revealing to us as we walk with Him along the paths and among the people He has designed us for. Terry Clark and Friends, right here on InSearch.com Radio, starting August 2nd and continuing every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Set an alarm for the appropriate time in your time zone and join us.
truck you got down there?
Yes, sir.
What year is that?
46, same year as me.
How old are you?
Born 46.
Well, I'm not. That don't tell me nothing. Eighth grade was the best 4 years of my life.
67.
You're 67? Bro, that's not fair. For two reasons. One, you set the bar pretty high, and I'm going to be wiped out when I'm 67.
No, you're not. You're going to be stronger than you ever were when you're 67.
Gosh, man. You know, I just was trying to think the first time we met. I got saved in 86, and we met, I know it was like 87 or 88.
Yeah, pretty soon after that, right?
Yeah.
Where was that? Do you remember?
You know, I mean, I was on staff with Brian.
That's it.
Brian, yeah, Bros and Vista.
In Vista?
Yeah.
That's ringing the bells.
Yeah.
86, huh? 87, 88, somewhere in there?
Yep, yep. And I was so blown away seeing you at a, I never knew early on why we connected so much. But you'd been a nutville, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there, I tell people, you know, don't underestimate the power of checking out. there's a happy place.
The way I read the Bible, it kind of is a requirement.
I never thought of it like that.
It's a prerequisite. Wow. To getting where you're made to go.
Because
as far as the world is concerned,
right,
they're gonna call you insane. They called Jesus insane. His own family thought he lost his mind.
Yeah.
They came after him, remember, to take him home and get him some help. And he goes, "Oh, my mom and my brothers and sisters are out there waiting, wanting to talk to me." Okay, you guys, you're now my mom.
You think? I never thought of it like that.
They thought I was crazy. Now I'm going to prove it.
Here.
You guys are now my mom, my brothers, and my sisters.
Well, man, that's here in the West, you know, it's kind of a different deal. But in other countries, when people take that step, it's for real.
Oh, absolutely.
It changes everything.
Absolutely.
Before we open that next chapter, bring me up to date on what y'all are doing right now.
What we're doing?
Yeah.
Well, the road stuff is still happening. The Lord still opens doors, and we don't try to get any of that. We just go by invitation.
I know. How many times am I before or after you somewhere?
Yeah, it's pretty,
right?
it's pretty neat.
We have the same friends.
Yeah. Well, we have the same manager.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
And he's the best manager I've ever had.
I love it.
Very early on, we learned that if you want to do it, he'll just fold his arms and go, "Okay, go ahead." And we'll see how long it lasts. He's the only one that knows where I'm supposed to be.
Well, that's the truth.
And what I'm supposed to do there. And the last 15, 20 years, he's the only one that's got the voice. He's the only one that's got the strength.
Mm.
He's the only one that's got the endurance to do what he calls me to do. This is an incredible life. It's no joke, that's for sure.
It's for real.
He's not joking.
The guy
is not joking.
That's the southern version, the hood version. It's for reals.
Yeah. God is for real. Heaven's for real.
Mm.
But heaven is anywhere you're with him.
Mm.
I don't care if it's in this life or any other. The only place that there's sanity and reality and all the stuff that we're made to consume and process and make fruit out of.
Mm.
There's no other source for it. I mean, you can't get it at Walmart or Costco or any of those churches.
Yeah, you seem like you stopped drinking the Kool-Aid many, many years ago, what this world offers.
That happened when I was 13.
Wow.
And then I went out from there, and I'm not like a smart guy, but I took a lot of parallel things with Solomon's deal, because he said he went out to experience everything to its extreme, to find out everything he could. And that's what I did. And the Lord opened the door for me to go into foreign countries and become immersed in those cultures. The first foreign country I went to was Massachusetts. For a Texas boy,
that's a whole different world.
I never got the hang of the language there. But then I went into Japan. There was only two of us that came out of the school, didn't go to Vietnam directly.
Wow.
And it was mainly because somebody made a mistake, probably. But I was in northern Japan. I was supposed to be there 2 years. Was only there for 9 months. And Uncle Sam wanted me to get on an Air America flight into northern Thailand in the triangle up there where they were watching all the operations. And so that fun was over. But in each country I went to, except for Massachusetts, I became that nationality and a street person to boot. So in Sapporo, I worked the clubs and had a Japanese manager and worked for Uncle Sam in the listening station the rest of the time. And then threw me into northern Thailand. I became Thai. I mean, I was a papasan on the street and lived that kind of life and got dealt some real challenges while I was there. Out of there, I was sent back to Bragg for a little while and then on to Germany. And in Germany, everything hit the fan. That's where I went into the psych ward. But, you know, the doctor said all this psychosis and all that, it came right out of Southeast Asia. There was a bunch of us that went through that, that are shuffling around the streets of America right now.
Do you ever have any triggered moments of the past? You know, because, I mean, I don't know, healing is never about perfection for us. Just, you know, the direction. But do you ever, because I remember Raul, you know, here recently when he, you know, he triggered up pretty good.
He never had flashbacks.
Right.
Until just a couple of years ago.
Well, and that was all set in motion by, I'm sure, his trip back to everything, because we're masters at compartmentalizing.
He stepped back into battle.
Yes, he did.
And that lady that gave him the money to do that film, she told him, you're going to be a target if you do this. They're coming after you. And they hit him in the stomach right there in his own driveway.
Yep.
I hurt for him. But I'll tell you what, and he'll tell you the same thing, and you probably will chime in on this one. That doesn't go away.
Right.
It's always there.
Thank you.
You see the
You
see the movie Beautiful Mind?
Oh, yeah.
That's my life story. Those people are still right there.
Yeah.
I can acknowledge them anytime I want to. But I don't want to, because I have the choice to acknowledge who really is my sanity. And I know they're not my sanity. And I will not yield to them. I will pull out a 50 caliber and blow their stinking heads off before I yield to them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of weapons we have in the spirit.
Yeah.
I have to be very serious about that and very vigilant.
Very intentional.
Because I can go 3 days on the road without getting into the word. And Nancy and I learned this the hard way early on. We were very busy, you know, and you just get up and you get back in the van and you keep going and you go to the next thing and you do that. Okay, about the third day, we're on one of those, you know, glorious roads with nothing in sight except just the road up ahead and miles and miles. And we just started snarling at each other. It was just... And we both realized about the same time, wait a minute, neither one of us did anything to start this. Where did this come from? And it was like the Holy Spirit just tapped us on the shoulder and go, get a grip. Don't you know what you're yielding yourself to? And we looked at each other and we went, oh, I know why. 3 days. Yeah, we're ministering.
Right.
We're the jar that he pours the stuff out of in these places we're going to, but we're not filling up. The world gets real ugly, real quick. And those Manahunis are still, they're going to be there waiting for that moment, and they're going to rip you. They've ripped me a few times, but they can't get by with it. The devil sticks his head. I mean, God is really sneaky. He'll let things kind of fall by the wayside a little bit just to get him to stick his head in just a little bit further. And I've seen him whack it off.
Isn't that the truth?
Whack it off for everybody to see.
Huh.
He'll steal stuff from us, and God will go, ha! You wanted replacements for that anyway. Thanks for cleaning that out.
Wow.
That's happened many times for us.
Mm.
And God's generosity to us, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's absolutely embarrassing. Humiliating.
Well,
I mean, that truck downstairs, that truck came right out of a dream, a private dream I told nobody about. Of course, Nancy knew that I had this problem because every truck I would pass on the highway, I'd go, I wonder if that guy's taking care of my truck. And he's getting to drive it and everything. But, you know, that was what she dealt with our whole married life.
Mm.
And then suddenly she finds that just before my birthday,
humbling,
she went, 46 Ford pickup, and I was out doing something, and she was on the internet because this guy shows up and wants to buy our station wagon that we had in Craigslist, and she came in from talking to him in the driveway going, wait a minute, I think I just sold our car. I got to go look for another one and before Terry comes home and finds us out. And then she sees this 46 pickup, and she goes, uh-oh.
Oh, my.
She forwarded the email over to me that had that in it. And I came home, went into my office, and she hears me yell, because she asked me if I wanted it for my birthday. And I said, of course. Where's the pictures? So I start talking with the guy and get the pictures, and it's right there in Vista.
Oh, my.
I mean, everything else I saw was rotten in somebody's back 40 in Iowa.
Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah. Yeah, no, right.
And it's in Vista. God. Now, that started telling me what was going on right then, because I just put the last tweak on the dream. You know how you do it? Okay, automatic, so other people can drive it, and fairly kind of engine, so that I can just go down to the parts place and fix it. Okay, that's it. And then, boom.
Bingo.
There it is. And when I saw the pictures, it was exactly the dream.
So you're saying God loves you that much to take care of the detail?
Yeah. He loves me enough to humiliate me
right,
like that.
Right. Because you can't take any credit for it.
Uh-uh.
He gets all the glory. Well, I mean, he gets all the glory.
All of it. Because I'm talking about it even right now. It's his glory that I'm talking about it.
Right.
Because I did not go get that.
Right. No.
And in fact, I mean, we set up a meeting with the guy on that Friday, my birthday, and we're going to go see it. And it hit me before we went out the door. I just grabbed Nancy's hand. I sat her down on the couch, and I went, Lord, I know this is not just about me getting my dream pickup.
Mm.
So whatever you're up to, help us not to miss it.
Mm.
And it was beautiful. We spent the whole day with this couple, about 10 years our senior.
Mm.
He'd have parallel military stuff 10 years before me in the same countries.
Wow.
And first thing I asked him was, why is he selling this awesome vehicle? And he had dark glasses on. And he said, well, I've had a couple of eye operations, and I got a couple more to go. And I just need to pay some bills. And throughout the day, we found out that they'd already had it sold twice for way more money, and he was getting out of us. And each time, the buyer would call and back out. So it was them. He did that whole thing for, not for me. He did it for them because they were so lonely. They'd been ostracized from their grandkids and all the big family feud and everything. That's how God is. I mean, if we're for him, we find out how much he's for us. And obviously, he's not going to just jump to our bidding, demands.
Right.
Because I never demanded anything.
Right.
In fact, he waited till it would just completely crush me and humiliate me before he did something like that. And he could only use us in that situation for that other couple when I was in that mode. Very interesting process.
Well, it's so good to hear, because you don't hear it a lot. You either hear the extreme message of name it, claim it, blab it, grab it type of deal, versus God really is just such a loving Heavenly Father that does want to do above and beyond all that we could ever think and ask.
Mm-hmm.
And Eileen and I have been blessed far beyond what we ever thought possible.
Yeah.
In every way, from children to relationship to friends.
Yeah.
I mean, here I am sitting down with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so far beyond. But God loves us so much, and he knows what we need. And
he's designed us to be enmeshed and integrated, and we haven't glimpsed that yet. In this life, we're victims of the isolation still in our minds. I mean, we even build our churches to preserve the isolation.
Yeah.
So that we don't have to interact with anybody if we don't want to. And we can just watch the show.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, you know, I've been in Jesus's prayer closet a lot.
Mm.
And that's one of the areas that he has to work the hardest, because doing church is one of the most opposite things to what he wants to do.
But that's what it's become.
And I'm not saying he's not using it.
Right.
But I'm just saying that when we wake up and he takes all those things away from us in this country that he's taken away in
right.
Sudan and Uganda and even Western Europe and
yep.
all of that kind of stuff during the Hitler days. I mean, you don't think God will take the rug out from under you like that, but it's only his grace when he does.
His love.
Because he holds out waiting for you to wake up because you want to.
Right.
And then when you don't want to, he can fix things so that you want to.
Right. But it's still
not manipulative, but
it's all based out of love.
That's right. He loves you so much, he doesn't want you duped into losing.
Interesting. A friend of mine named Dave Eubanks, he started a humanitarian organization called Free Burma Rangers,
mm-hmm.
right? But Skip Heisek was interviewing him at his church, and Dave's a retired major, Green Beret, SF guy, just a lot of stuff. Loves the Lord, but he was raised in Thailand. His mm-hmm. parents were missionaries.
Wow.
So he's always had a heart for the Lord, mm-hmm. right? And he went through some stuff. But Skip says, so, you know, are there times that you may be forced to shoot somebody? How do you reconcile that as a Christian if they're attacking you or innocent people? And he goes, well, he says, what if somebody busted through the back doors right now and started coming in and shooting people? Do you have security around here? Would you shoot them? And he's like, that's a really good... He goes, we just pray and ask God, Lord... He said, in the moment, we just say, Lord, do you want us to shoot this man? And he's really serious. I mean, that's yeah. his life is marked by it. And he goes, you know, he goes, I don't know. So we ask the Lord, do you want us to shoot this man? He's shooting at us, and he tells us. And he goes, even if I have to shoot him, I'm shooting him out of love. Because I love him enough to stop the evil he's doing. Because he shouldn't be doing that type of evil, killing innocent people. So they were, you know, deep in the jungle where I'm going, and they get attacked by the Burmese army. And they're pinned down, and they're trying to get villagers away from, you
yeah,
know,
yeah,
after
exactly.
been attacked and hacked and all that stuff. And it's the same situation, Lord. What do you, and they, you know, Lord, do you want me to shoot back at them? And there's a commander, shoot, shoot. So he feels like the Lord for him says, no, don't shoot. So he hops up and he starts running, cutting through a rice field, screaming, rah! And they all turn and start firing at him. And one of the eyewitnesses said, rounds are going in between his legs, in front, behind him. And he's just cutting loose, running. And then one of his guys who's indigenous to Burma couldn't take it, and he grabbed one of the security guys, M16, reaches over and just, brat, you know, let out a few rounds, and it struck and hit the commander, and it killed him. And the unit that was with him, they all fled, right?
Cause yeah, sure.
Cowardly. They hop in a truck and left. Dave wasn't hit, but they surrounded the commander, who was dead. And Dave said, let us pray. And he goes, Commander, we love you. And we're sorry we had to kill you. It's not what we wanted to do, but it's what happened. And he just goes, I hope you found the Lord in the closing minutes. I hope you forgive us for killing you. I mean, and he's so sincere. Everything he does out of love, I'm like, wow. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, gosh. That's amazing.
So that's where I'll be pretty soon for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, who knows where we're going to be. It's really necessary that we get in the habit of looking up and asking.
I think so.
You want me to shoot this guy?
I think so.
Do you want me to... What do you want me to do?
You want me to lay down my life? What is most beneficial?
Yeah. Either he can tell you,
yep.
or the whole thing's a lie.
Yeah.
And he can fit me for the job. He can give me the weapons of the kind of warfare he wants me to do.
And I do believe, you know, you mentioned it earlier, but I do believe America's in for a pretty rude awakening, mm-hmm. probably sooner than they expect. And there'll be a dividing line between those who profess Christ and those
yeah.
who really know him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the difference is in the suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have like, I don't know what it is, 180,000 people on our Facebook page, right? And I can post a picture of a monkey with corn in his mouth or whatever, you know, and get thousands of hits out.
Yeah, right.
But I made a little post and said, hey, Christ chose to leave heaven and embrace suffering so that he could set the captives free. And I said, man, what a glorious honor we have to follow in his footsteps. Man, I tell you what, that was not a popular post.
No.
And I just kind of sadly chuckled and said, wow.
We got a big awakening coming.
Yep. Christians in other countries get it so much more than here in the U.S. So, yeah, we got to stay close to him and look forward.
Well, I really appreciate your friendship and the fact that the Lord has connected us right from the very beginning, like we're family, like we're blood. And I know that that's not just for now. That's a forever thing. And we got some business to do in the main event coming up, and then we'll understand a little bit more of why we had to go through what we've gone through and the joys that we've experienced and all the lessons that we've learned. Even though we're hard heads, when we do learn it, we got it, you know. And that's why he makes hard heads, I think. Biblically, that's pretty well borne out.
Yeah.
Jacob definitely was a hard head, but he became Israel. And he's still a little hard-headed, but God doesn't break his commitments. He doesn't break his promises. He's made promises to you and I based on our choice to be his, and he's going to fulfill all that he's promised, even though we don't have a clue what that is. He does, but he swears by himself. So he's got the answer to himself. You know, and it's kind of hard for us to beat up ourselves, but I imagine since he's God, he could probably do it. He let his own son be tortured to death, and he saw that moment where his son realized that he had turned his head. That was an awful moment. It's an awful moment, but Jesus didn't shirk the responsibility of suffering that for us, so we wouldn't have to. We're sinners, but he so loves us that he gave his son so that he wouldn't have to break his promise of bringing us home if we just want to. If you want to right now, he's right there. He's closer than your own breath. I just ask you, honestly, all you have to do is just turn and talk to him. No, you're not crazy to him. You're crazy to the world, but don't you worry about that. You may even think you're insane, but that's just because God has chosen you to be his, to be full of his mind, his truth, his reality. And as far as this world is concerned, that is insane. It's foolishness. It's absurd. The gospel is absurdity to those that are perishing. Don't be one of those. Turn and come to him, and he's there. I don't have to do a thing to help you do that. You don't have to bring anything to the cross. He brought everything right there, and all you have to do is come there to him. The sin offering was disposed of outside the gates of the city. You come out of your broken down city, your self in ruins. Come out those gates to the sin offering, and he'll give you new life. He'll make you a new creature, and he'll give you the power to do that.